Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Good to have you back with us here. The number here is 410-319-8888. Before we jump to this, I have to remind you of a couple of things. One I forgot to do at the top of the hour, we won't forget now. Which reminds you, we're here on WEAA, and support for WEAA is provided by Monroe Shocks and Struts. Information available at monroe.com. We've had a lot of programs about different neighborhoods in our community. One of those neighborhoods we've talked about a lot over the last 20 years is Park Heights. We've had this conversation on many levels. We're going to have another one today to talk about the money coming to Park Heights, what the status of Park Heights is, and more. Get your thoughts at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can join us on Facebook on the Mark Steiner Show. Facebook page is Mark Steiner or the Mark Steiner Show. Or tweet us at Mark Steiner. We really want to hear from you, 410-319-8888. Because Park Heights, in some ways, can be emblematic of the development of the city and what could, should, and can happen. We are joined here in studio by Will Hanna, President and CEO of the new Park Heights Community Development Corporation. Good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark.
Jessica Lewis is back with us. She's a housing organizer at the Right to Housing Alliance, a program of fusion partnerships, an organization doing to organize tenants and do more work to stop foreclosures and evictions in Park Heights. Good to have you with us again, Jessica.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Willie Flowers is with us, Executive Director of the Park Heights Community Health Alliance. Always good to see you, Willie.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you. And we'll be joined soon by Julius Colon, who we tried to contact to be part of this yesterday, but he just called in saying he could join us by phone, so he'll be joining us by phone, who is President and CEO, get this right, Mark, of the Park Heights Renaissance, 410-319-8888. So there's been a lot of hullabaloo around the money coming to Park Heights. What's it, $6 million over 2 years? Do I have that right?
Over the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years.
FY13 and 14.
So, and there are people who are disgruntled about where Park, about what the money will be used for or not used for. There are people looking at this saying Park Heights is becoming an avenue for eviction and destruction of homes. And is there another, I mean, people, because given the nature of our society, are wondering if there's a plan afoot to move poor people out and other people in, all that part of it. Park Heights had a glorious history. For a long time, from its time as a working-class Jewish neighborhood to its time as a working-class and middle-class black neighborhood to its deterioration now in many ways. So it's a very important piece to talk about. We always talk about the great divide in Baltimore in terms of wealth and race, and look at and we often look at Park Heights as emblematic of that because of the divide that's called Northern Parkway. So, and all that's very real. So I'd like to get your assessment. Folks, I really want to hear from you at 410-319-8888. Your assessment, your ideas about how we should develop our city, what you think where Park Heights should go. One element we forgot today, by the way, was to have some of the folks who are thinking about putting safe streets into Park Heights. They're coming into there, and we should talk a bit about that as well. We will in the future. But your assessment of where Park Heights is now. And, Will, let me start with you. Will Hanna.
Well,
there's so many Wills here. Will, Willie, yeah, make that
Will
straight.
And Willie.
Will and Willie. Will.
Well, one of the things in Park Heights, and a lot of people know that in 2006 to 2008, there was a Park Heights master plan that was created. The master plan, the urban renewal plan was done in 2008. The master plan, though, in my opinion and in some others' opinion, has been a failure to this point. There's been a lot of funding in Park Heights, and that's a lot of things a lot of people talk about. They talk about the history of the racetrack impact funds, in which Park Heights received about $500,000 a year since 1976 and saw very little benefit to the community. Now, Park Heights is the only community in the city thus far to have a dedicated stream of funding from the slots revenue, the video lottery terminal. So the $6 million that you speak of is for fiscal year 13 and 14, but the allocation is for the next 17 years now. There'll be another 17 years added to it. The issue becomes what happens with those funds, who gets those funds, and what's going to be done with those funds. We have seen organizations in the community that have received millions of dollars, but there has been very little benefit to the community. So I think that's where some of the issue to a lot of the residents it's happened. But in that, you still have a community that has 2,300 vacant properties. You still have a community that has 43 liquor establishments. You still have all of the ills, and then it's number one in a lot of negative categories in the city. So those are some of the top line issues, but we can get to the specifics as we go forward.
We're also joined, as I said earlier, that Julius Colon, who is joining us as well by phone here, because
thank you for having me on, Mark. Thank
Julius, why don't you go next, then we'll go around the room.
Okay, all right. I want to focus my attention to the listeners today about what is a community revitalization movement that's occurring at Park Heights. I don't want to make issue to a master plan, which is a tool, a guide that's being used by the city of Baltimore to help guide the process with respect to the revitalization. The revitalization that's occurring in Park Heights is not dictated by just the master plan nor the slots revenue fund. That is a source of revenue, yes, for correction. $6 million is coming to Park Heights this fiscal year. $2 million of that goes to the one-mile radius. $4 million goes to the master plan area. There's a percentage of 75% that goes to the master plan area, which is from Park Circle to Northern Parkway, Wabash to Green Spring Avenue. The other 25% goes to the one-mile radius, which includes Dolefield, the Glen area, and so forth. So I think that we should be clear about what's occurring. There are a lot of other entities that are involved when we talk about a community revitalization movement. The residents of Park Heights are engaged. Park Heights has a long history of what we can call, a lot of controversy and political rhetoric. And what's occurring now, moving forward, which I am truly excited about, and a lot of members of the community is truly excited about, is that Park Heights is finally receiving the attention from different factions, not just from city government, state government, the community, but also from private investors, which will turn around a lot of the decay that we talk about when we say Park Heights. For a lot of people, Park Heights, their memory of Park Heights is tree-lined streets, stores that they used to be able to walk to. When you talk about today the issue of systemic problems that has caused the demise of part of the community, the commercial corridor, the housing stock, the out-migration that occurred, you have, the liquor establishments have impacted tremendously on the culture of what Park Heights used to be. So on October 3rd, we are having the liquor hearings for the whole Transform Baltimore, the rezoning. The liquor hearings are going to occur at Towanda Community Center. And listeners, please join us to discuss the issues about the liquor establishments, liquor licenses being closed in Baltimore City.
Excuse me, I better get everybody in here. Let me go to Willie Flowers next, and to somebody who's coming as an organizer in the community after that. Willie Flowers?
Yeah, thank you. This is Willie Flowers, and I'm with the Park Heights Community Health Alliance. I've been working in the position I'm in now for the last 4 years, and before that, I worked as a lobbyist for LifeBridge Health of Sinai Hospital, and I was introduced to the challenges of Park Heights through that lens, if you will. And it just inspired me versus, turning away from trying to figure out what to do about the challenges of the community. I was actually inspired to jump in there. I mean, as you know, working with a multi-million dollar, billion dollar nonprofit is a little differently than working with a very small budget with a very small nonprofit. But the challenge is there. So in my experience, I've been able to work with plenty of people who see that it's more important to focus on solutions than to stay focused on the problems. And there are a lot of challenges and problems in the community. But I think that it's really time to bolster the people in the community who have been doing that for years. And that's kind of where I am now, because the attention to the negativity that comes with focusing on the past and what has happened, you know, I've seen it. It gets any, it gets us nowhere. So, and more importantly, from a public health standpoint, it's kind of a, I don't know if it's a trend, but from a public health standpoint, there is a focus on community health, and that's pretty easy to say. But what I've gathered from my experience is that family health and individual health is really probably the starting point. It may not be more important, but if we can't heal ourselves, it's going to be hard to heal the community. So our focus and our lens is to try to figure that out, and that comes from being on the ground.
So, and Jessica Lewis, happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
You're new to the community in some ways, only been here a few years.
Yep.
But you're part of an organization to organize the Right to Housing Alliance and organizing this community around that, and the numbers of evictions that have taken place in, that, in Park Heights are really exponential compared to many other parts of our city. Talk a bit about what you see in Park Heights, especially with your new eyes, not coming in with all the baggage that many other people come in with, right?
Right.
So tell us
right.
what you see.
We're a relatively recent organization. We work with tenants and homeowners who are facing foreclosure and eviction. We're a human rights organization. We think that housing is a human right and that there shouldn't really be any barriers to anyone having access to safe, adequate, and affordable housing. So over the course of the last year and a half or so, we've been working a lot with low-income people in the Park Heights neighborhood and elsewhere in Baltimore, but primarily focused on Park Heights, in part because of this redevelopment plan, in part because of the really high volume of foreclosures that have happened there over the past few years and continue to happen. So like Julia said, there is a lot of controversy and politics in Park Heights, and you know, we're not really focused on that. We're working mostly with people on the ground. And what we see from people on the ground is that some of the cheapest, most affordable rents in Baltimore City are in Park Heights, and people are still struggling to pay those rents. You know, with incomes of, you know, what, almost 40-something percent of people in Park Heights have median household incomes of less than $25,000 a year. So even if you're paying $600, $700 for a one-bedroom apartment, you're not able to make ends meet. And what we've seen, both from talking to people about the master plan and about just their general housing issues, are that, A, they don't know what the master plan is. They haven't heard of it. We've talked to hundreds and hundreds of residents over the last few years, and almost nobody knows. It seems like there's been a real lack of participation in you know, the development of the plan, the implementation of the plan. You know, and I don't want to get into the money aspect of it, but there's just a real lack of awareness about it and how it's going to affect people. But when we look at that plan and the affordable housing guidelines that they're that are in the plan, it doesn't really reflect the demographics of the neighborhood. It doesn't really reflect the sorts of incomes of people who already live there. Even the affordable guidelines they do have are really broad, and you know, we anticipate, and our members are sort of skeptical that any of the housing that's created as part of this master plan is going to be affordable, is going to allow them to stay in their neighborhoods.
So let me throw something in here. I think because there's four very different views here, and in some ways it is emblematic to me of the distance between ideas and the future of Park Heights that people hold who are a part of Park Heights. That's been the case in the 20 years that I have been kind of covering it here on the air. But let's just take for a moment, I know you said you weren't going to deal with the money, but let me deal with the money for a minute in terms of what you were saying. When you look at the $3 million a year, whatever that number is going to be coming into the community for the next 2 years, how much of that and what part of that, and who controls that, will focus on the people who live there and, A, the affordability of housing, and how can that be addressed, if it can be, and how much that will be – well, let me get to health next. Let's just talk about housing for a moment. How much of that will be focused on housing and making sure that people have homes? We've seen a lot of money being spent on painting and beautifying houses that are boarded up, but –
Let me say this, Mark. This is Will Hanna. Over the next 5 years in slots revenue, what the plan is, according to the spending plan that the mayor signed off on, is that $22 million will be spent on the acquisition and relocation of residents in the major redevelopment area. So,
how much money?
$22 million.
Let me finish.
There's
$22 million. For listeners, please
Let me jump in here for a minute. I'll let you finish, Will. But give me what you think is the other number, Julius. I'll come right back to Will. What do you think the other number is?
I can't project out because projecting out, you know, the budget is done by the Pimlico Community Development Authority, which was created through straight legislation. They recommend to the mayor how the funds are going to be allocated. A majority of the funds is dedicated now for some level of physical development.
Okay.
Well, this year's allocation, let me just deal with this year's allocation. Okay. This year's allocation is going towards funds are going towards the major redevelopment area, which is just 4% of the total target area of Park Heights, the 62-acre area. Some funds are going towards where we're building senior housing, which is
I think rather than get bogged down on that, I mean, how much money are you saying we're talking about? And when you say some funds are going here,
$4 million for this year, fiscal year.
All right. So now what is the $22 million you were talking about?
The $22 million is what has been allocated based on the projections and slots revenue over the next 5 years. That is in the spending plan the mayor signed off on in July. And that $22 million is going for the acquisition and relocation of residents in the major redevelopment area, which is a 60-acre area from Wally Avenue to Garrison.
So let me just stop for a second.
And it's online.
So let me just stop for a second. So you're actually not saying different things. You're talking about $4 million. That's $4 million a year. You're talking about $22 million over 5 years. It's $4.7 million a year. So we're talking about the same pot of money. All right, let's start there. So we're talking about that pot of money. How is that money – A – who's making a decision on how the money's being spent? And B, where's the money going to be spent? And I want to be very concise about it. I mean,
So the Pimlico Community Development Authority.
And who are they?
They are the entity that was appointed the chair of that entity is Tom Stosa, who's the director of planning for the city of Baltimore. He chairs the body, which is made up of residents and public officials, state officials, that they make the recommendation to the mayor through a process that involves, HCD, the Baltimore Housing, and the mayor's office. So there's different decisions that are involved in the decision-making process.
I'm only moving things ahead because I think I just want to get to some points here we're talking about $4.7 million a year. Let's say we're talking about, correct?
Okay, four, right.
There are 2,300 vacant houses in Lower Park Heights.
I can't confirm that number.
It's just 2,300 in Southern Park Heights.
In Southern Park Heights.
In Southern Park Heights, below Northern Parkway.
Come on, come close to the mic.
In Southern Park Heights, below Northern Parkway.
Right.
No, what are you saying, Willie Flowers? What are you saying, Willie Flowers?
Actually, I think it's lower. So it's a smaller area, but 2,300.
What were you about to say, Jessica?
Oh, I wasn't. But okay. I think, when we're talking about where the money's going to go, the question is, what do we do with those vacants? When we demolish the vacants, what do we build on top of it? And does that support the community that already exists in Park Heights?
And the answer to that question is yes.
How do we know it's yes? Because we hear yes all over the city, but it never ends up as yes.
Because there is a process that involves the community engagement. Now, I don't know with respect to the statement that a lack of participation exists in this community. There are regular meetings and regular discussions in the community on a monthly basis with service providers, with residents of the community that occur every single month on the second Thursday of every month, and different neighborhood associations that Park Heights Renaissance works with.
Mr. Colon, if I may.
Yeah, so with respect to what we're, when we talk about communicating, can the communication be better? Yes. I do not disagree. Do we need to engage more of the community? Yes, without a doubt. But let's stick to that property that we're talking about. 55% of that property is only city owned. The rest have to be acquired of that vacant property by the city so that we can rehabilitate. Now,
I'm coming right back to you, Julius, because we've got to go to break here in a minute. But very quickly, Will, and then we're going to go to break.
When we talk about the engagement of the community, we've talked about this issue for the past 3 years. At what point do we engage the community? Now,
what does that mean, engage the community?
Well, notifying them even of the master plan and of the process. The people that come to the meetings that Mr. Colon is talking about, there's about 40 people that will come to that meeting every month, and the rest of the community doesn't even know the meetings happen. And that is the truth. The rest, otherwise, they'd be there. They're not there. There's 40 people there that come to those meetings every month because we've told Mr. Colon and Park Heights Renaissance and the PCDA and the city that you are not getting this word out to the entire community, and there are ways to do that. There are mechanisms to which they want to get out every single piece of information, but they don't about the master plan.
Let me tell you, I'm sorry.
Again, on average, we average in the meetings 55, so I know my numbers.
Okay, so
again, the thing is that with respect to engagement, when we talk about engagement,
there's 33,000 people in Park Heights. You get 55
meetings,
people.
We're talking about regular meetings. We're talking about there's ongoing discussions and meetings and forums that occur in the community on a regular basis around the issue of what's going on in Park Heights.
We have to take a break here in just a couple minutes. But just by the way, letting folks know on the way to break, this is the day that Bessie Smith passed away, and so we are playing Bessie Smith during our breaks. St. Louis Blues is coming up here to take us to break with Bessie Smith. But when I come back, and there's some calls coming in 410-319-8888. Rhonda's written an email that we're going to read that came in to steinershow@gmail.com. But I really want to understand what we think should happen in Park Heights. We talk about these houses being, well, a lot of them being privately owned. Well, if the city can use eminent domain to take away houses to build highways, why can't we use eminent domain to take away houses from people who are not keeping them up and who are letting abandoned houses sit? And what do we do with the people? If you are rehabbing, what happens to people who live there? Where do they go? And what guarantee do they have they're going to come back to their homes? Because in EBDI on the east side, many of them didn't come back to their homes. So let's begin there, and then we talk about health. How much this money will go into creating health clinics, training community health workers, putting people to work in Park Heights? Those are questions I want to come back and address with our four guests. And we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Mark Steiner. You listen to Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA, and we just heard Nobody Knows When You're Down and Out, Bessie Smith. Could be Park Heights. Could be anywhere in Baltimore. And we are running the listen to WEAA, and support for WEAA is provided by AAA Mid-Atlantic. More information available at 866-4-GLASS-1. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com, or you can go on to steinershow.org and click on MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner, which lives on our website. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking about Park Heights. We have a full growing by the minute. We have Will Hanna, who's president and CEO of the new Park Heights Community Development Corporation. Julius Colon, who is president and CEO of Park Heights Renaissance, Willie Flowers, executive director of the Park Heights Health Community Health Alliance, Jessica Lewis, housing organizer at the Right to Housing Alliance, a program of fusion partnerships, and calling in now is Viola Bell, who is co-president of United Hope Community Development Corporation. So now we have a full house. 410-319-8888. Make it fuller with your calls. So the question that we left off with, and let's just leap into this for a moment, is what do you do with this $4 million? And how do you guarantee real community participation? One of the things I said that during the break, and if there's a response to this, please keep it kind of pithy, and let's not go all around the barn with this, that if you have this $4 million, should not, if you want real community participation, should some of it be spent on full-time community organizers who go out to, maybe people from the community who live there, who go out to meet with neighbors and residents, to know what they want, and to encourage them to participate, to go out and really make this a community effort. I mean, that would be, why should not you take $150,000 of that money to pay salaries and benefits for a couple of people at least or more to go out and be community organizers to make this work? How can you do without it? Because people will not come to meetings. I was a community organizer for years. Years I was a community organizer. People do not go out.
We receive an allocation. Park Heights Renaissance receives an allocation. And we do have a staff that does go out and meets with the community.
No, Julius, with all due respect, I'm talking about money dedicated completely to people whose sole job is to be a community organizer, to get people involved, to see what the issues are and bring them in, to change the dynamic. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. We have a person on staff that does just that. Odessa Neal, she works more directly with the neighborhood association. She goes around to various meetings to have people engage and inform them about what's going on in Park Heights and to participate in other forums that are going on in Park Heights. So, you know, there is that happening. When we talk about, like, there's $1 million that's being dedicated to the area around where we're building 60 units of senior housing, which is
4300 Pimlico area. Road, right.
It's on Pimlico between Borman and Loyola
right.
Northway.
Right.
Everything around that right now is being focused on to build affordable housing. I'm one of the co-founders of the affordable housing movement in this country, but I've been in this business close to 40 years. So, again, I want to stay, you know, focused on the positive things that are happening in Park Heights. There's a lot of good things that are happening in Park Heights. You know, and organizations like Picture, we need advocates. You know, but at the same time, you know, we have to be, the advocates have to be informed. You know, they have to deliver the correct message, because this community, historically, for a long time, has been fed misinformation. And moving forward, we have to be clear about the information that we provide to the community.
Well, let's be very clear.
Well, we have to make it other people, because we only have like 25 minutes left. I want to get folks into it. Yeah. Go ahead, Will, and Jessica, go ahead. Then we'll introduce Viola to the conversation. Read this email and bring Ray, our first caller, in.
Let us be clear then, in full transparency, and let's be very transparent, that one of the issues is that, as you say, Mr. Colon, you have someone on staff that does that, then it's not being done. You've had someone on staff that's done that for supposedly doing community organizing for the past 3 years, and it has not happened to the level that it needs to be done. Not a knock on Odessa, because I know her and she's a great woman, but it is not happening to the level, and I think that Mr. Steiner is alluding to, of where that community engagement needs to be. And there needs to be an independent agency that would do that, that all they do is community organizing, because apparently we're not getting it right. The other part is, when we talk about this senior housing project, this is not a Park Heights Renaissance project. The people that got the check for that project from HUD, this is HUD 202 money, federal money, that money was funded to the Associated, which is a Jewish organization.
Associated Jewish Charities.
It was, yeah, Associated Jewish Charities. So that money was funded to the Associated.
They were the
sponsor. Let me finish.
Give the listeners correct information, okay?
What also has happened.
Wait, we can't talk over one another.
Let me finish.
Finish up, Will, real fast.
No.
Let me finish. What has happened?
Everybody stop. Julia, still have a chance to come back in just 30 seconds.
Yes.
That we'll finish the sentence. You can respond to get okay. to Jessica, and let's get to the phone.
If we really want to look at transparency, what has happened is Mr. Colon himself has made over $600,000 in his own personal account, and the community has had even less of that benefit.
But I want to keep these away from kind of personal attacks on different
people. Not personal.
People.
This is the community's money. This is why things aren't being done in the community, because we're spending it in other places.
Right. Julius, go ahead, and then we'll go to Jessica, and then to the phones.
I would like our listeners to our website is boldnewheights.org. Boldnewheights.org. There is information about the organization. There is financial statements. There's historical. I've been here now in Park Heights for 4 years, working on the redevelopment, the community revitalization of Park Heights.
And what's been done?
The listeners can go to our website and they can get all the information what they don't have on there. They could call us or at 410-664-4890 with respect to any questions about what's on the website. But please go to boldnewheights.org.
So, Jessica, please jump in, and we heard him have more fully flowers in like 20 minutes. We got to come on, Jessica.
I just wanted to touch on this idea of community organizing as being critical to the public participation and community participation piece. But I think there's a difference between having community organizers go out to solicit feedback and to try to build, you know, unity and momentum in a community to be invested in working on these issues, rather than a community organizer just going out as an ambassador for the city's agenda, for the city's development agenda, for the Park Heights Renaissance agenda, for any agenda. And you know, we talked about this in the break, too, is that these meetings that happen every month, I think at the Zeta Center, mm-hmm. People don't come to those meetings because they know that there's already an agenda there. They know that, like, they're not going to have any real impact or any decision-making power, but that someone's just going to be presenting to them an agenda of what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and there's not a real opportunity for participation.
So, Willie, and I'm going to introduce Viola, and then we are going to go to the phones and the emails. Yeah, a lot of people are calling in. Willie?
There's really nothing to say.
Because you've been in the neighborhood for a long time.
I haven't been in the neighborhood a long time. I worked for 4 years and 6 or 7 years before that with Sinai Hospital. I'm not from the community. I don't have that badge. I consistently say that I wasn't born in Park Heights, but it has been born in me. And I come through the community every day. And like I said, I'm inspired. But it is the case that when you look at the situation with Park Heights and you go a little farther north, you see a very vibrant community that's always something changing in it. And then you can look at, and it's supported by the Associated Jewish Charities and a federation, rather. And then you can look at what the Catholics have done in a short period of time, because while we're having this conversation about the money of the Park Heights Renaissance or whatever, St. Ambrose had a training program mm-hmm. that was
St. Ambrose Housing Center.
Housing Center, our community outreach center.
It's been there forever.
Right.
Lower
they
Park
had
Heights.
Very effective.
They had a training program that had a budget of probably $300,000 7 years ago. They created an opportunity, you can call it social entrepreneurship or whatever you call it, but they created Kids Table, which is like a $3 million corporation now. And so it's unfortunate that there are still other organizations in Park Heights that have been sounding these alarms that you hear on this conversation here, who haven't come out of anywhere. So it's unfortunate, but what the Jewish Federation allows and what the Catholic Charities allows is an umbrella for their smaller organizations to become something significant. So that should be a model for what can happen. It's not, and it's still the case that the community has not been so organized that they can propel something new and different for Park Heights.
And before we bring Viola Bell in, because she called in as well, she was going to be a guest on the show, couldn't come, but now she's on the phone with us. Let me read this email because I probably got to take care of our listeners. Rhonda wrote in a long time ago, Park Heights, like many African-American communities in Baltimore City, signed on to a master plan agreement that excluded them. This evening, the Dolefield Avenue stakeholders will present a proposal to the Baltimore City Planning slash PCDA on a plan for the betterment of all five surrounding communities. This is historic. The community is stating, we don't object to your plan, but we need our own plan. Agreeing to unfunded plans has proven to be harmful to African Americans and their communities, is what Rhonda Wimbush, who's been a guest on the show before, has written in. Philip has written in, I am a member of the very first PAC group designation for the development of Park Heights urban rural efforts, the Park Heights Community Corporation in 1977. We received the first large bond application, $4 million, was awarded way back then. Look what future that brought us. I was young then, very idealistic and committed to the cause. I left the organization after being totally disillusioned. The majority of the members did not have the will to affect community as much as they had the will to look important, play politics, and socialize. The failure of Park Heights began with us. And I remember that era very well myself. The poverty program money that was really misspent. 410-319-8888. And Viola, you want to have a say before we hit the first caller?
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to address the community organizing engagement piece because I don't go to the meetings anymore because of the fact that they became dictated and the agendas were made up by Park Heights Renaissance, and there was no platform really for the residents to really speak up in regards to what we really wanted to see happen, because the things that we wanted to see happen were ignored, and we were led to follow the directions of what Park Heights Renaissance had on their agenda. And the months that we would go to the meetings, they always had all these guests with various initiatives that were going on throughout Park Heights that did not address the real needs of the community. So that community organized, and I was once a community organizer for Park Heights Renaissance, but that's a different story. But anyway, they do not have anyone. We are one of the oldest organizations in Park Heights. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary that we've been engaging in the community, being activists and advocates. Now, being a 20-year resident, you would think that their so-called engagement in the community, we would have been one of the organizations that they would have approached. But no one has ever come to us for anything. We have our own place of operation. No one has ever come to us. So it's certain people are excluded from certain things, and they're not engaged in all of the community. So when we look at the mission of the Park Heights Renaissance, to implement, and I'm reading this from their website, to implement the Baltimore City Park Heights Master Plan, where land and economic development alongside human development are transformative influences to the revival of a thriving and sustainable Park Heights. That is not happening.
Okay, let me jump in here. I'm going to let Julius come right back in so we can all come back and forth towards the end of this program. Only like 14 minutes left. Let's get a caller in here, as I promised, 410-319-8888. Ray, you're on the air. Welcome, and a very quick comment. Ray, you there?
Oh, yes. Hey, Mark. How you doing? It's Ray Cook.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Listen, it's going to be really quick. First of all, we got to realize that a community is made up of people, and people have to be involved to make the decisions what's concerning their issue. Like the young sister said, that someone said that you have to train the advocates up to say the right thing and all this, but you need to also train the people who came from whence they came from, in order to make a difference there. Park Heights has always been a struggling community, and it's been disillusioned by so many people. And like the sister said, when people come to those meetings, they're more dictated to than listened to, because I've sat in on many of them. And until you listen to the people, and don't forget to listen to the voices of the young people, because the young people are what the future is about in that community.
Everybody take care of your cold, brother.
All right.
And one more quick comment, then back to our panel. Sorry, I'm with Julius, and then going to Jessica and around the room. 410-319-8888. Brother Bay, a very quick thought.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was for me.
Yes. You want to turn down your radio?
Yeah. I think that I don't want to get into a debate of, what we as an organization on the air, there isn't enough time to debate that, what we do and we don't do, what we didn't do and what we could do. I think that it is clear that Park Heights is emerging as an organization, as the community is emerging as a community, and issues are beginning to be addressed. It's important that we understand that the community engagement, Park Heights is the target area. It is a large community. It is 1,500 acres. There are different interests. Baltimore City is built up of neighborhoods. You can have a whole different perspective from one block to another,
right?
Because of the neighborhood makeup and the neighborhood mentality. I welcome the opportunity to have more dialogue with the listeners, with your guests around the issues that we're talking about. But the Resident Community Council is an information exchange forum. It's not specifically to debate issues. We bring speakers, and you should know that the agenda that's prepared by the Resident Community Council is prepared by local residents that chair various committees. So, I think that, again, what are the real issues that we're beginning to address in Park Heights? You talked about the health issues. There are some real health issues in Park Heights, being that, it's one of the highest rated, with heart disease. Heart disease is another number one factor here in Park Heights, and Willie Flowers can talk more to that. There is some attention being given to how do we engage people around addressing health issues. So what's occurring, it's a movement. A movement is occurring in Park Heights that's going to bring on different opinions and different strategies of how we could do this and how we can do that. I just believe that united, we will continue to move the agenda forward and revitalize a community that people can talk about 10, 20 years from now and say, gee, I was part of that, be it, as an advocate or whatever. Now, when we talk about the kind of housing that has to be built, it is our agenda to build affordable housing in Park Heights. When we talk about job creation, we have a Safe Streets program. We've had over 100 mediations that preventing potential violence from occurring in Park Heights. When we talk about foreclosure, we've already talked to, dealt with 47 families in Park Heights just this year alone that hasn't concluded yet. So there's a lot of programs that are occurring by different stakeholders and service providers in Park Heights. And so a lot of attention is being given. I think that we just have to be cognizant of the fact that it is a community revitalization movement that's occurring in Park Heights, and that there's going to always be difference of opinion on a lot of issues.
So let me get the callers back in here, and I do want to get Brother Bay in for just a quick second. Brother Bay, we only have a few minutes left, and I have to get back to the panel. I'm sorry, but you didn't get your say. Say what you have to say.
Am I on?
You're on, Brother Bay. I'm saying we only have a few minutes, so.
I understand, as always, that you only have a few minutes. One of the things, Will, you correct.
Well, that's the nature of the show. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
To work at your door, Will, you didn't come from the status quo. And let me close with this. When the community in on things, they're up on things. The brother just talked about Safe Street. Safe Street is governed by John Hopkins, Dr. Webster. People are talking about people getting involved and people being in power, not just dealing with the external cosmetic. Miss Viola, I love you. We've been working up there. And let me say this. Business Association, my family, the 3R Clean, has been over there nearly 50 years, and they have never benefited from nothing under these issues. And when they talked about the master plan, we challenged Otis Rowley, because the people were not involved. It was a document that was created and brought to them and sold by the people who benefit from the ordinary John Q. citizens do not benefit from those initiatives. Keep doing what you're doing, Will. You've not been trained. You have a personal vested interest in the things that you do. People don't want to hear. They get the truth of all of the rhetoric. They don't want to hear the people who've been there, lived there, and got family members still there. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Brother Bay. And we do want to hear from the people who live in the community, which is why we reached out to Viola and others to come on the show today, and we'll do more of this and have on Park Heights, because I think Park Heights, to me, is one of the communities in Baltimore that is emblematic of what the future could be, what it might be. And I think we have to have this continuous conversation about Park Heights here. To me, it's critical. But I'd like to have our panelists in the studio here. Quick, we have like 5 minutes left, so if you have Jessica.
I just want to take a quick second to say that this whole situation in Park Heights is a good example of the way that the city disinvests from certain neighborhoods, and what that leads to, what we see is that it allows predatory landlords to take advantage of people who have very few options. Like, we're engaged in a campaign with a bunch of our members who are dealing with a property manager called Sage Management that's taking advantage of people who are struggling because they don't have other options. And also, it allows banks to take advantage of homeowners who are struggling. It allows, organizations that do development in neighborhoods to take advantage of residents who are probably going to be displaced. And these sort of, this contrasted with where the city's putting money elsewhere in the city is disgraceful.
Yeah.
I really do think this public participation piece just needs to be hammered home, because we're on the streets in Park Heights every day. Again, like I said, I'm not from there, but the majority of our members, the majority of people we talk to, live there, work there. Not so much work there. I'm sorry, but don't experience any. They're not invited to these meetings. Nobody's reaching out to them, and they really need to be part of this, because. Once this development happens, are they going to be a part of it, or is it going to push them out?
Willie?
I think that the challenges exist. the only thing I'll close with about the reality of the funding, whatever the number is, Will keeps more interest in that than me. But I do know that it was only $600,000 for Health and Human Services. And the reality is that whenever the challenges started, it wasn't 10 years ago and it wasn't 20 years ago. And $600,000 to correct those challenges is a pittance.
Let me say this. We're going to have, is it time now for a break? 1 minute. So I'd like to say this. We're going to come back and take another 5 minutes. There's a question I'm going to ask you about what you just said, Willie Flowers, and let you have a closing thought, and Viola have a closing thought, and then we'll go to our next guest. Walter Lomax is here to talk about a major conference on prison reform they're having here at Morgan State University, and they give him a chance to be in here as well. So stay with us. We're going to come right back to this conversation. On the way there, let me remind you the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. We'll be right back to conclude our Park Heights conversation with closing thoughts from Viola Bell and Will Hanna. Take with us.
I feel so funny. I feel so sad. I need a little steaming on my flow. Honey, baby, won't you curl near? That sweet mama whisper in your ear. I'm wild about that thing. It makes me laugh and sing. Give it to me, Papa. I'm wild about that thing. Do it easy, honey. Don't get rough. From you, Papa, I can't get enough.
A little more on Bessie Smith here to take us in. This is the day she passed away, and remembering her through her music, I'm wild about that thing that she sang back in 1929. We're going to conclude our Park Heights conversation. On the way there, I need to let you know this. Support for WEAA is provided by in-kind donations from Organo Gold Gourmet Coffee, a health and wellness coffee. Selections include mocha, lattes, black, Jamaica Blue Mountain, and King of Coffee. Organic green and red teas are also available. Information at 410-262-5122. That's 410-262-5122. So very quickly, we only have like 5 minutes before Walter Lomax comes in. But I want you to come back. What we said.
I just wanted to say that a companion piece that's not talked about a lot is the human services plan that was done prior to the master plan or simultaneous to it. And it basically fortified that it would take $50 million for over a three-year period to basically balance out the challenges with human services. And that's like the floor and not the ceiling.
$50 million
versus the $600,000 that's there. And then when they came out with the RFP, which I'm trying to figure out how to adjust to, it was so restrictive for organizations that exist currently in the community that it just makes a challenge. It's like a real challenge to apply for it.
Very quickly, so, in 30 seconds, restrictive how? Give me an example.
It's it spoke specifically, while it said human services plan, it spoke specifically to getting 15 to 24-year-olds off the street. And the list goes on about the challenges. And whatever your qualifications were based on the size and capacity of your organizations. And then the reality is that we've been working for the last forever to even get human services recognized. And so it was, you know, it was kind of 50-50 type of celebration when the RFP came out. So,
and Viola, a very quick thought before we have to close out here and go to Will, because we really are out of time.
Well, my only comment is that we have not seen anything happening. Even in the block that I live in, Virginia Avenue, where they demolished houses on both sides, there is no redevelopment of housing for people to move into, even though it's written in the master plan that there's going to be new development. We see no new development in the area of Park Heights, the southern area of Park Heights. There's no redevelopment at all. We see people coming in, buying houses, fixing them up, but there's nothing happening with all the houses that are supposed to be demolished. We're looking at echo demolition. That's the only kind of demolition that we see that's going on in this community is echo demolition. There's trees and bushes and all kinds of debris growing over houses. There's no demolition that's being done through this master plan initiative.
So we have like 2 minutes left.
That's the main thing. We see nothing happening.
Well, very quickly, 30 seconds, and then 30 seconds to Julius, and we really got to roll.
Okay. Well, just to Viola's point, I think to Willie Flowers' point, what housing has said, what Deputy Commissioner Julie Day has said, is that there will be no redevelopment opportunities in the major redevelopment area until they have acquired all of the properties and relocated the residents out of that area. I've lived in Park Heights for 30 years, And I think one of the things that when you look at with that statement from housing, along with the closing, the attempted closing of Northwestern High School and Langston Hughes Elementary, that gives some people the strong ire of gentrification. You close the schools, you move the people out of the communities, you don't have any staggered development to go through, and then you spend $22 million to move them out, instead of putting $22 million invested into the people that are there.
So, and Julius, 30 seconds.
Literally. We never have enough time to discuss really what's going on in Park Heights, you can see. I think that given what's going on there, I want to talk about moving forward and the positive things that are happening in Park Heights. There are a lot of good things that are happening. Just the other day, we opened up a new library at the Arlington Elementary Middle School. That was funded by the Weinberg Foundation, and PHR was instrumental in that as well. And it's a brand new library that has a parent section, so that's one of a multitude of good things that are happening in Park Heights. And I just want to say and leave on that note, there are a lot of great things that are happening in Park Heights.
And on that note, what I would like to say is that we need to come back here within the month, as we're doing with our transportation show next Wednesday, maybe have a two-hour special, bring many people in. If we can figure out a way to have a town meeting in Park Heights with many people, we'd love to come down and do that. I think Park Heights, to me, is emblematic of what the city could and should be. So we'll continue this. I want to thank all of our guests. Viola Bell, thanks for calling in. Teresa Colon, thanks for calling in. I appreciate
thank you
responding to it. Willie Flowers, always good to have you in the studio. Thank you so much. Jessica Lewis and Will Hanna, thank you both so much as well.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks
Walter Lomax coming up. Don't go away.